Take your Bibles tonight and turn to the book of Proverbs. We're going to be looking at multiple scriptures out of the book of Proverbs tonight because we're going to be talking about a heart condition. We were going through this study on dropping your guard, and part of that is realizing and remembering who holds our heart. We're not just talking about, in fact, we're not talking specifically about the muscle in your chest that's beating right now and pumping blood around. We appreciate that heart. It's very important. But that's not what we're talking about. The scripture calls the place where our spirit resides, our heart, our soul. That's what we're talking about tonight. And we're going to be looking at some specific verses tonight, but I want to start out the very first one in the first chapter of Proverbs, chapter 1, verse 7, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline." Isn't it interesting that the writer of Proverbs began this whole book of what many believe to be some of the greatest advice that we could ever have by saying, the beginning of the of understanding and fearing the Lord, that fearing the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and discipline. And that's quite obvious. Those people who listen to God, follow God, believe that He is in control, believe that He has all power, all might, everything, these are the people that He begins to work in and through in our world. I want to look specifically, first of all, tonight at the definition of our heart. It's literally the source of life or the seat of the inner man or woman. I'm not trying to be gender specific here tonight. It's the seat of life. It's the place where we truly are living. Now, it's interesting that people can have multiple things happen to them during their life. You could have an arm amputated. You could have, you know, something terrible happen, and you know, you were in a wreck and you lost a leg or whatever. But it doesn't change who you are. It may change how you look, but it doesn't change who you are. You see, the heart is on the inside. The heart is the source or the seat of life. It includes our feelings, our desires, our affections, the things that we look at and want, our motives, the things that drive us, our will. See, we make choices in our heart. It even connects to our intellect. In other words, our heart is in control of what we ought to be thinking about. Our principles, our aim in life. You see, the heart is so important. And in fact, if you want to turn for just a moment a couple of pages over, and then I'll be putting some scriptures up on the screen in a little bit, but turn to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. It says, above all else. Okay? Now, that statement means what? Number one, numero uno, priority alert. Here it is. Above all else, guard your what? Heart. Why? Because it's the wellspring of your life. Whatever's in your heart is going to come out of your life. Whatever it is. It's the source of life, the inner person. It includes our feelings, desires, affections. We went through it. The most in-depth point of a person's spirit. Okay? So, what's in our heart is so critical about everything else who we are, what we're doing. You know, a lot of people say, well, you know, I ask Jesus into my heart. And you truly understand what you're saying when you say that. But He didn't come and literally reside inside the beating pump in your chest. But He does come to live within believers by His Holy Spirit. And once He takes residence in us, He makes changes. Have you ever had anybody come into your house and just begin to make changes? Not for very long, right? I mean, you know, no, that's where we keep that. I mean, this is, we have it there for a reason.
Yeah, but I like it over here.
It's kind of like that commercial on TV where these people say, we like our house, but it has ants, you know, and it has all these ants. And, you know, so it's just, it's like that, you know, they come in, they want to make their changes. Well, the fact is when we ask God to come in and indwell us, it's okay for him to make changes, because every change that he makes will benefit our lives. And it will make us begin to focus on him instead of us, which is the whole reason why we need to give up, drop our guard, quit being so guarded with everything, and allow God to actually do something in our lives. Because I have known, just as you have known, people who, and maybe you've even been like this at some point in your life, been churchgoers, they've been Bible studiers, they've gone to, you know, all kinds of conferences and whatever else, but number one in their life is still themselves. The heart has to change. So the scripture here in Proverbs goes through a number of different kinds of hearts, and we're going to take a look at it. The first one it talks about that stands out is a heart of wickedness. And in fact, Proverbs 6:18 says, a heart that devises wicked schemes and feet that are quick to rush into evil. Now, you might say, whoa, no, I wouldn't want a heart like that. I hope you don't. I hope you wouldn't want to have a heart like that. But the fact is that we are born with a heart like that. What's going to change it? The only thing that can change it is God's Holy Spirit. We can't change it on our own. We'll always be selfish. We'll always desire to do what we want to do and rush into places that we shouldn't be rushing into. That's our selfish desire. That's our, you know, the thing that kind of pushes us over the edge sometimes. So the heart, you know, in fact, the scripture tells us that our heart is always wicked. The second kind it talks about in the very next chapter, in chapter 7, verse 9 and 10, a heart of sensuality. Well, it doesn't take too many people to try to explain to you what this world is pushed towards in the movies, on TV, in music, in every form of art. It's constantly a bombardment of things that should never have been put out there in the first place, of sensuality. Look at what chapter 7, verse 9 and 10 says. In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night, you know, when nobody's watching. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot and a subtle of heart. In other words, we like to get in the darkness so that nobody else will see and do what we want to do. Now, folks, I think every one of us in here understand that that's built into us by the sin that so easily entangles us. A heart of sensuality. A heart of deception. Chapter 12, verse 20 says, deceit is in the heart of them that imagine evil. Now, let me tell you something, folks. When somebody looks you right in the eye and tells you a lie, you got to understand that the reason they're doing that is they're trying to cover up for something in their lives. You know, the scripture tells us about the father of lies. That's all he does is he speaks lies. In fact, it's his native language, the scripture says. Do you want to be a part of what he does, or do you want to be a part of truth, because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life? So we could have a wicked heart, a sensual heart, a deceptive heart, a heart of bitterness. Chapter 14, verse 10 says, each heart knows its own bitterness, and no one else can share its joy. Literally, it means that if we don't watch out, we'll allow bitterness to control us. Have you ever known anybody that's just so bitter? I mean, you wonder, what in the world did they go through to make them so sour and mean and hateful and whatever else?
But that can control your life. And it may be some one little thing from way back. But if we allow it to, it'll take over. What kind of heart condition do we have? The scripture also talks about a heart of happiness. Chapter 15, verse 30. A cheerful look brings a joy to the heart, and good news gives health to the bones. You know what, folks? I so often see people walking through the grocery store, through wherever, you know, wherever I see people walking, and they're walking around looking like they've just been beat to death, and they don't even want to talk to anybody, and they don't want to see anybody, and they don't want to engage anybody with conversation. And if you do, you know, if you do start trying to talk to them, they just, and real short, and then they leave. What's in your heart is going to come out. And so, if you have a happy heart, you're going to be happy with people around. You're going to be cheerful. You're going to be the person that sets the mood rather than taking it down. Chapter 18, verse 12 talks about a heart of haughtiness or pride. Before his downfall, a man's heart is proud, but humility comes before honor. Well, that's probably a verse we all ought to put to memory, don't you think? Before his downfall, a person's heart is proud. We know pride comes before the fall. But humility comes before honor. In fact, the scripture says, if you put yourself last, you'll be first. Right? A heart of rage. Now, this one gets pretty intense because You can be angry at something. You can be bitter about something, but then you begin acting out on it. The foolishness of a man ruins his way, and his heart rages even against the Lord. Yeah. In other words, it's all God's fault. You know, if you wanted to change it, you could, God. And people walk around mad. There's a lot of folks that are walking around mad. They're just full of rage and anger and bitterness. They feel like they've been wrong. They feel like they've gotten a bad break. They feel like everybody's against them, whatever it is. Then there's a heart of envy. The scripture tells us about it in chapter 23, verse 17. Do not let your heart envy sinners, but live in the fear of the Lord always. In other words, if you see someone going out and doing something and it looks so much fun and they're just having a blast. And isn't it interesting? I have never once, ever, nor will you, of course they don't put them on TV much anymore anyway, never seen these people standing around at a backyard barbecue with a keg of beer and all this other kind of stuff going on. You never see any of them over there throwing up, or you never see any of them. You don't ever see that, do you? Even in the movies, you don't see stuff like this. What you see is people, hey, we're having a great time. You know, and it's just, you know. And so people see what they, you know, in fact, the evil one wants to make it look fun and look like there's no consequences and look like it's okay. And so, man, he puts it out there through media all the time. And people see it and go, yeah, that sounds like a great idea. But it's not. So there's a lot of different kinds of hearts the Scripture talks about. So what makes these hearts different? Really, it's what we think about most. It's where we keep our mind fixed. Chapter 23, verse 7 says, "For as he thinks within himself, so is he." In other words, if I think about God and what He's done for me and the provisions He's given me and the joy that He's put into my life and that the fact that He's saved me from eternal separation, and I keep thinking of all those things, guess what's going to come out of me? Joy, happiness, and a purpose for life. But if you think about, man, I've had the bad breaks and it doesn't look like I'm ever going to get a good one. And it's, you know, you think about stuff like that all the time, that's exactly the way you're going to live. What makes our hearts different? What we talk about. Chapter 24, verses 1 and 2 says, "Do not be envious of evil men or desire to be with them, for their minds devise violence and their lips talk of trouble." In fact, the Scripture even says they're willing to do things all the time with a penchant to do even worse. What makes our hearts different? What we spend our leisure money on. Uh-oh, gone meddling now. A man will be satisfied with good by the fruit of his words, and the deeds of a man's hands will return to him. In other words, what am I doing with what God has given me in abundance? And you might say, well, I don't have much in abundance. I guarantee you, compared to most of the world, we have way more in abundance. What are we doing with that? Storing it up? Building a nest egg? Going to buy that Winnebago and go, you know, visit every town in America? I mean, what is our whole focus in life? Or do we see what God has given us as a means of serving Him? And giving rather than taking. Fourthly, tonight I want us to look at the actions of the heart. So what's in the heart is going to come out, right? Here are some actions of the heart. Many times the heart spurns reproof. Chapter 5, verses 12 and 13 says, "You will say, how I hated discipline, how my heart spurned to correction. I would not obey my teachers or listen to my instructors." Now guess where that person is going to end up? Top of the heap? Or in handcuffs, right? I mean, you know, it's just, you know, God allows discipline in our life for a reason. It's not so that we can be just trained to obey and do exactly what somebody says. In fact, Hebrews tells us that no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but it's painful. But afterwards, it brings forth a harvest of righteousness and joy for those who've been trained by it. I can attest to you, there was not one day that I was doing two-a-days in the 110-degree heat in Waco, Texas, on AstroTurf, that I was going like, man, this is so much fun. I wish we'd stay out here another hour and run some more laps. No. You were so glad when that final whistle blew and they said, you know, hit the showers. Man, you were just so glad. I mean, you live for game day. You live for being able to get out there and play in the game. But, oh man, the work that it took to get there. A heart spurns reproof. Another action is the heart that is bent on the sensuality of this world. Again, it talks about that in chapter 6, verses 23 through 25. "For these commands are a lamp, this teaching is a light, and the corrections of discipline are the way to" what? Life. "Keeping you from the immoral woman, from the smooth tongue, from the wayward wife. Do not lust in your heart after her beauty or let her captivate you with her eyes." In other words, you have a choice. We all have a choice with what we allow to be in our heart. Because what's in our heart is really in our mind. We have a choice. What are we going to focus on? Where are we going to keep our mind? The heart is susceptible to anxiety, to gloom, and depression. I don't know if you know that or not, but there used to be an old show on TV, and they sang a song, "Gloom, Despair, and Agony on Me." But anyway, the heart is susceptible. Look at what it says in chapter 12, verse 25. "An anxious heart weighs a person down, but a kind word cheers them up." And then chapter 14, verse 13 says, "Even in laughter the heart may ache, and joy may end in grief." And then in 18:14 it says, "A man's spirit sustains him in sickness, but a crushed spirit who can bear?" You see, our heart's susceptible. So we've got to do what it said back in chapter 4. You remember that? Guard your heart. Because it is the wellspring of life. The heart leans toward indiscriminate sharing. In other words, hey, did you hear what happened to so-and-so? And you got to share it with somebody. I mean, if you know what's happened, and you just got to share it with somebody. It's called gossip or whatever, slander or whatever. A fool finds no pleasure in understanding, but delights in airing his own opinions. Well, isn't that just like us? Just like people. So what's the remedy for people? It's getting our heart in the right condition. Again, there it is, chapter 4, verse 23. We are to guard our heart above all else. We are to guard our hearts because it's the wellspring of life. So what does all this mean? Let's put it into an application. Because to take everything that's been said and go, yeah, those are all right things, and then walk out and not do anything about it, what does that say to us? Well, James kind of hits that one on the head. Looking in the mirror, forgets what he's seen. Okay, here's the application. If our concealed place, the heart, is not well guarded, it will be unable to discern God's voice. When it's enamored of idols and substitutes, his voice is silenced, and the very source of our direction for living is walled off, and our lives are rendered useless. Boy, I thought this was an amazing statement when I read it. You see, it's so easy for us to get so focused on self, and then to get that wall kind of put up around ourselves because we feel like we have to protect ourselves, and, you know, it's all about us. But the true person who understands the mind and the heart of God allows God to come in and take over and says, listen, God, whatever you want to do in my life, that's what I want to do. Whatever it is. Oh, you want me to sell my house? I'll sell it. Oh, you want me to go to Nicaragua? I'll go. That's what you want me to do. Whatever it is you want me to do, God. Oh, you want me to continue the job that I have and witness to people all around me every day? That's what I'll do. I mean, you know, we do think sometimes that you know, you have to go be a missionary in China or something. No. You just have to be what God wants you to be, right where He's planted you. You remember that famous statement, God just wants you to bloom where He's planted you. To bloom, you have to grow. To grow, you have to be nourished. To be nourished, you have to get into His Word. And you have to allow your heart to be totally His. Can we get there? We've got to keep trying. Got to keep trying. Because God wants to use every single one of us. So, maybe tonight when you get home, before you go to bed, ask yourself the question, how's my heart doing? Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the words that you give us through your word. You encourage us. You stimulate our thoughts. You draw us into your presence. You encourage us to walk towards you instead of towards ourselves. Father, we need you in complete control. I need you completely in control in my life. I've messed myself up so many times by being selfish. Lord, I don't want to do that. I want to honor you. I want to exalt you. I want to keep my eyes fixed on you. You are the author and perfecter of our faith. We thank you and praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.